It's slime time.
Oh, hello, creeps. So glad you could join me.
What is this, a homicide or a bad B-movie?
Crawl under your couch, lock your doors, turn down the blinds, and turn your lights out.
You are listening to the Casey Ferguson Show's Haunted House of Rock on Ember Silent Radio 92.1 FM.
Bread to rip and shred. You are listening to the Casey Ferguson Show's Haunted House of Rock on Amherst Island Radio 92.1 FM. Yes, it's Casey Ferguson here, the Count Chocula of the radio world, coming at you from my haunted lair with middle fingers in the air.
Trick or treat, man!
Hey, aren't you a little old for this? You're not even wearing costumes!
Hand over the candy, old dude, or we egg your house back to the Stone Age!
Here you go, kids! Lousy punks!
Oh! Among the nights this show will air is Friday the 13th, so what better way to draw first blood than with a track from the film series?
Why don't you drill a hole in your forehead and let all the sap run out?
That was Alice Cooper. He's back, the man behind the mask, coming from the soundtrack of Friday the 13th, Part 6, Jason Lives, kicking off the show. If you're a fan of the Friday films, be sure to check out my podcast Halloween specials over at CaseyFergusonShow.com. Some of my guests over the years include Tom Matthews from Friday 6 and Lar Park Lincoln from Friday 7. Don't worry, I'm not resting on my laurels. On this episode of the Casey Ferguson Show, I will have my interview with actress Lisa Wilcox, a.k.a. Alice Johnson from A Nightmare on Elm Street, Parts 4 and 5.
She's a saucy little minx, that one.
I will also have plenty of killer tunes loud enough to give you nightmares from the likes of Marilyn Manson, El Nino, and Godhead. With that in mind, let's claw our way into a few tunes emanating from Elm Street. This is Dawkins, Dream Warriors on the Casey Ferguson Show's Haunted House of Rock.
Night.
vampire, and I've come to suck your blood!
This cape is giving me a rash.
You are listening to the Casey Ferguson Show's Haunted House of Rock on Ever Silent Radio 92.1 FM.
Dyson, stabbing and slabbing. You are listening to the Casey Ferguson Show's Haunted House of Rock on Amherst Island Radio 92.1 FM. A couple of tracks from the Nightmare films there. Okay, I sort of cheated on that last one. It's from Freddy vs. Jason, but it's still kind of part of the franchise.
Don't tase me, bro.
That was El Nino, How Can I Live? Goo Goo Dolls before that from the Freddy's Dead soundtrack with I'm Awake, and from Nightmare 3 was Duckin' with Dream Warriors. My guest on this episode of the Casey Ferguson Show is actress Lisa Wilcox. Most of you will remember Lisa as Alice Johnson from A Nightmare on Elm Street 4, The Dream Master, and A Nightmare on Elm Street 5, The Dream Child. We'll discuss all things Elm Street, her upcoming films and convention appearances, her favorite bands, and more. This is my conversation with Lisa Wilcox on The Casey Ferguson Show. This is Casey Ferguson. You're listening to The Casey Ferguson Show's Haunted House of Rock on Amherst Island Radio 92.1 FM. I must be dreaming. Actress Lisa Wilcox is on the phone. Welcome to the show, Lisa. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Thank you so much for having me.
I've been dreaming of this moment since I was a young fella, so glad to have you on. There we go. Did I make you blush a little?
A little.
Oh, there we go. I'll take it.
Yes.
Anything I can get here. Now, I'm very happy to have you here, but I was very bummed to hear about Tom Petty dying yesterday. You a Tom Petty fan?
Oh, my goodness, yes. Tom Petty, 80s music. Oh, yeah, definitely. That was my high school heyday, for sure. Yeah, very sad, very sudden, you know?
Well, it was very bizarre because they got the whole thing twisted around where he wasn't dead and then he was dead and, I don't know, just a big cluster. And I won't go on and on about it, but who else are you into musically, Lisa?
Well, my son, Alex Sherman, he He is an amazing musician and songwriter. I'm a 70s, 80s girl, I would say. I love the Carpenters. I love the Eagles. I love the Rolling Stones. Yeah, I'd say that's probably more my genre.
Well, now I have to bring up this Sherman business. It would appear somebody beat me to the punch, Lisa.
Yeah, I guess I did. Sorry.
Somebody cut in line. That's what happened. I know it.
Yeah.
Give it up. You'd be eating alone in a women's prison.
Definitely runs in the family. Both my boys are very talented musicians and singer. My youngest, he likes to compose classical music. He writes his own stuff, you know, but it's just a hobby. And then my eldest, he's definitely, that's what he does. That's his passion.
Oh, wow. I mean, how did he stumble across the classical thing? I mean, do you and your hubby listen to it or?
We definitely exposed him to, you know, we exposed the kids to everything, but I don't know. It's just what he's really good at math, and I think that's his mind.
So he's pretty much the complete opposite of me then. I was a rock and roll guitar player,
yeah.
Singer, and not so good at math.
Who is good at math? Not many. I don't think that many people are. You know,
well, not that many creative types, so. It would seem.
Yeah. Well, he'll send me these things. And I'm like, is that Mozart? And he's like, no, Mom, that's my own composition. I'm like, oh my gosh. And he's learned how to play organ now too, as well.
My ding-a-ling. I want you to play with my ding-a-ling.
This act is over. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to put this filth behind us.
Lisa, before we get into the Elm Street stuff, you've been pretty busy, so let's talk about some of the films you've been working on and have coming out.
I did something with Amanda Wist, actually, called The Watcher of Park Avenue, when we filmed that in New York. And then I did a short film called The Quiet Room, and I play, I work in a psych ward, actually. I'm a nurse in a psych ward, a role I haven't played before. The Watcher of Park Avenue, that one, I play this very eccentric New Yorker. Really fun to play. Had such a good time. And Amanda Wist, of course, Tina, she's Freddy's first kill. She plays a detective. Then I have quite a few films coming up on the horizon. I have, oh my goodness, Amityville Christmas. I have a movie called Mystery Spot, something called The Mansfield Killings, which is actually based on a true event that happened in 1948 in Ohio, a brutal murder. And I have, oh my gosh, just a whole bunch of things. You know, I left acting for a long time, and now I'm back to doing it full time. So the calendar is getting filled up quickly.
Well, hey, good to have you back. And I mean, I suppose you took a break, raise your boys, and do some work and what have you, right?
Yeah, exactly. And then with Tuesday Night, who played Kristen in Nightmare 4, she and I started a wholesale jewelry company, and we did that for 8 or 9 years. And it was just a blast. It was an amazing experience to start your own little company from home, and then it grew and grew and grew. So I got to do things like Shopping Channel in Japan, and, you know, went international. So it's been fun. But I'm definitely, my passion is to be back in acting, and it's a blast. And I'm also available for more autograph shows, conventions, and that kind of thing, too, as well. In fact, I just came back from Kentucky last night for ScareFest.
Hey, there you go. Went well?
Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh. It was great. Robert was there. Danny Hassel. Andras Jones. Tuesday was there. Amanda with. I mean, well, gosh, we have so much fun. It was a great crowd.
Yeah, I suppose a lot of the time, you know, for you guys, the only time you get to see each other is at, you know, events like this, right?
Yeah. However, like, a few, like, Tuesday and I, we see each other all the time. I see Amanda all the time because we live in Los Angeles. And we're actually, I mean, really good friends. Super good friends. Toy Newkirk, who played Sheila, we're really good friends. In fact, she lived with me for about a year when she was moving back from New York to Los Angeles. So we are honestly, like, good friends. We really are. We really, and that doesn't normally happen. Typically, you do a TV show or even a play or a film, and you're working with, you know, these folks for, you know, a few months, and then you never see them again. But it's been a different situation with, I would say, the Nightmare on Elm Street cast. We just really and generally love each other. So I got to do a cool movie and make some wonderful friends, too. So.
Well, I mean, I think that camaraderie showed through in the films as well. And do you have some more conventions booked right now?
Oh, yeah. I'm going to Alamo Comic-Con in San Antonio. I am doing a Rhode Island Comic-Con. I haven't been to the New England area before, so I'm really excited about that. And I learned that some of the Star Trek Next Generation Generation cast is going to be there as well. And I work with Jonathan Frakes and Patrick Stewart and all that kind of thing. So I'm super excited to be going there for Nightmare on Elm Street, but also for Star Trek Next Generation. And then I have another one in Germany, but I don't know the name of that one. Yeah, so I'm getting around, definitely.
Atta girl. Well, I'm sure there's a lot of people out there that want to meet you, so they can, of course, check up on the upcoming dates, probably on your website, I'm guessing, right?
Yes, you can go to my website, lisaewilcox.com, and you can see where conventions are happening and latest projects. In fact, they just got back from the Scarefest, like I said yesterday, so I actually have to add Amityville Christmas. But it's on IMDb already, so, and I'm listed there, so I'm super excited about that. Yeah.
Fantastic. All right, well, let's get into the nightmare stuff, because I know my listeners are waiting for that. The first day of filming was your birthday, correct?
Yes, it was. April 27th. Yep, 1988. Indeed, it was my birthday. Yeah, birthday present.
Well, that's pretty far, right?
Oh, I know. Yeah. I mean, April tends to be a really lucky month for me anyway, but to actually have the very first day of filming. And the first scene we ever shot was at Venice High School. The scene with me and Tuesday Night, like Kristen, and she's smoking and we're sitting out.
Oh, yes, the unlit cigarette.
For her. Yeah, with the cigarette. Yes, with the cigarette, which is not lit, but I've been told. I have to go back and look, but I've been told that, you know, notice your cigarette is not lit, so, because she doesn't really smoke. But anyway, but that was our first scene, so our first day of filming was that scene on my birthday. Yeah.
Now, I mean, the movie come out, I guess it would have been like August 19th, 88, I think, if I have that right. So that's a pretty quick turnaround. Mm-hmm. I mean,
did
it feel rushed to you while you were doing it? Or
No, I don't think we felt rushed. But they were editing along the way. You know, there's dailies at the end of each day and production and the director, you know, watch, and then the editor starts working right away. So they were editing and putting the film together as we filmed along the way, hence the quick turnaround for the release date.
I gotcha. Well, I mean, I guess it would be, yeah, you're coming up on the 30th anniversary of Nightmare 4. Is that mind-boggling for you?
Yes. Definitely. I mean, I feel like we were just filming like last month. I mean, I remember so many of our days and doing the scenes and wardrobe and all that. I mean, I cannot believe, yeah, next year it'll be 30 years. I'm stalking. And it's like, am I really that old? Oh, God.
Well, hey, I saw some pictures. You're still looking fine like wine, lady.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you so much.
Very welcome.
Time flies when you're having a great, good life, right?
Absolutely. Did you feel that you were hamstrung a little bit with all the script changes? I mean, I would think as an actress, it'd be a little difficult to do your job at that point.
I would say it's just part of the job is to relearn lines. And they do what, let's say, okay, so you have your white pages, which is your original script, and then they give you pinks, so that means, and then it'll go on to a green, and then a blue, and then purple. So you'll, you know, your script ultimately will have, you know, all colors of the rainbow and more because of the script changes, but then you know by the color of the sheet that it is a revised scene.
Oh, I got you. I mean, I don't know. I'm horrible with organization, so I'd have a hard time keeping track, but I guess you're probably used to that at that point, you know, or at this point.
Yeah. You just pull out, okay, changes on page 6, 7, and then you just change out the whites for the pinks or the greens or whatever they're doing. And typically they would, back then, they would slip them under your door. You know, you've just worked all day, and then they slip them under your door, and then I have it before I go to sleep to look at, and then look at, you know, in the morning when I'm getting my makeup done in the chair to, you know, get them memorized. But it's just kind of it's just a typical process for an actor. It's, you know, what we're expected to do. Memorization is definitely a big part of it.
Gotcha. Well, Ken Sagos was on this show, and he spoke very highly of you. He's quite a swell fella, isn't he?
Oh, I love Ken. Yes, he's just a love. And the work he does for the kids, I'm sure he talked about his charity, and he's just a real divine, good-hearted, soulful person. Yeah, I just adore him.
Yeah, it's great to see him doing all that charity work and, you know, all the stuff. The Giving Back Foundation or Corporation or something like that. I'm trying to think now. It's been a bit. I think it was about 2 years ago.
I can't think of it what it is right now, but he's been doing it for years and years and years and years, supporting this.
Well, hats off to Ken out there. Hats off to Ken.
Yes. Hi, Ken.
Shout out. what about Rennie Harlan? I mean, he seemed like he was on, you know, had a lot of pressure on him to, you know, to deliver this movie, you know, a very good movie and on time and, you know, all that stuff. And really at the time, it was basically his first big Hollywood movie. So how was your working relationship with Rennie? Because he obviously went on, you know, to do Die Hard and all kinds of great things.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. gosh, we all love Rennie. He was wonderful to work with. He was, I would say, an actor's director. He was open to suggestions and ideas. And I remember a scene we were doing in the Crave Inn, and I'm in my waitress outfit, and I'm going to do the scene, and I'm playing with, you know, what am I doing, you know? So I'm like, I'm going to clean the silverware and this and that. So I'm lifting it up, and I have a cloth, and then there's this wonderful shadow that happens on the wall. And it looks like Freddy gloves with the knives, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, hey, look, this is so cool. He's like, oh my God, oh my God. So we got a shot of that. So when you watch the film, you'll see that sort of foreshadowing with the knives, you know, the shadow on the wall. It was really cool. So he was just very willing to explore and to make discoveries along the way. And I think those kinds of details, you know, made the film even better. You know, he was great.
Yeah, I really can't say enough about his directing on that Elm Street. I just thought he did such a bang-up job with it, you know?
Yeah, I do too. I do too. And I think his casting was, you know, there really was chemistry with us, and which did come off, like we kind of touched on before. It was revealed, you know, when you watch the film, you sense that these kids not really do know each other, you know, and do have a history.
Well, that's important with that style of movie, I think. You know, I watch so many of these horror movies, and it's just like, you can tell, like, it's like, this guy doesn't mm-hmm. like this chick. These two don't get along, you know. If it's not there, it's just like, just fire somebody and get somebody else in there, because it just, you know, it doesn't work at that point, right?
Well, I think that there's a genuineness, you know, it's just genuine. And here it is, you know, 30 years later, we're still really good friends and have, you know, we talk on the phone, we see each other, we're, you know, we really are family.
Now, were you on set that day there was the big accident on part 4 with the Freddy chest?
No, I was not. Well, I know all about it, though. I know all about it, yeah.
Was anybody seriously hurt in that? Because I watched the
no.
Never Sleep Again, and I'm like, oh my God, like, I hope nobody died.
No one got hurt, no one, but it was just, and you have to realize that Big Freddy was huge. I mean, it was huge. It was like 2 stories high, I would say, 3.5 at least. And I actually have a really cute picture of me and my mom. Like, you know what, I wasn't there, I think, when it toppled over, but I do have a cute picture of me and my mom standing next to it, and you can see the perspective on how massive it was, because it did have to hold human bodies in it, you know, for that part of the Big Freddy thing. So, yeah, it was neat. It's just clever effects, you know, just the things they came up with. Oh, my gosh, really fun.
Oh, absolutely. Part 5 as well, Mark's death, I thought was quite impressive as well.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah. Oh, and so clever with him moving in and out of the comics that he was drawing, and just, you know, such ingenuity, I think. And you know, when I rewatch them, I'm kind of like, no, well, these effects and things, they stand up to today's standards, you know?
Honestly, the last couple nights, I knew we were getting this interview set up, so I was doing my research, and, I mean, I've seen the films a number mm-hmm. of times, but I just watched them again, you know, the last 2 nights, and they hold up to me. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously, some of the music hasn't aged too well and whatnot, but, you know, and there's going to be some mm-hmm. wardrobe stuff where it's like, oh, wow, did people really wear that?
Yeah, I know the wardrobe. Oh, my gosh. And the stonewashed jeans and the little white leather belt. I'm like, oh, my God. And the kids, you know? Oh, heck.
What do you do, though, right?
Right. It was very appropriate. Oh, and the hair, you know? Like, all that hair. Oh, heavens to Betsy's.
Oh, well, I'm not going to bring up the wig. I'm not going to get you going. I know you've heard it 1,000 times, Lisa.
Yes.
Sorry.
Here's the thing. Rennie hired 3 blondes. So we have Tuesday night, he plays Kristen, and she had to be blonde because she's, you know, carrying on from Nightmare 3. And then Brooke Dees, who played Debbie, she is a platinum, fair-haired blonde. And then I was a virgin blonde as well. So we have to be blonde. So I got the rinse put on my hair every day, that red, you know, the red hair.
Mm-hmm.
And Debbie got the wig. So that's how that worked out.
Well, hey, I've always been kind of fond of redheads.
Well, my mom is a redhead. My dad's blonde. And I want to give you a tidbit. Rennie Harlan's mother, her name is Lisa.
Oh, wow. I did not know that.
I know. I think that's pretty cool. And if that's what made him choose me, then good. I'm glad I have the name Lisa.
Well, there you go, my dear listeners. There's some trivia for you. Use that at your Halloween party this year.
Sure thing, giant beer!
I wanted to ask you, because I think I heard you say at one point that the producer sent you and Andres to karate school for like a day or something.
Well, just to make sure, you know, know, I didn't hurt myself with the nunchucks. This is for precaution. So Andres had more karate, and I had the nunchucks. Yeah, but they did, and it was a blast. It was a blast. And in fact, my youngest son, years later, he ended up taking Hapkido for 2 years, and he went up to a brown belt.
Oh, excellent.
I'm still mad at him. He didn't finish it and get the black belt, but he did go all the way up to the brown belt, yeah.
Well, I just thought, you know, it's a little hard for you to go method at that point if you get, like, one karate lesson, you know what I mean?
Yes. Yeah. And you know, it was great. I did do some of that. I mean, obviously, when you look in the mirror, I'm swinging them around. And, of course, in the church scene, I had a lot of punching and kicking to do as well. And some of the stunts, I would start it, like, I would do the cartwheel, right? And then they would cut to the stunt double doing, you know, the 10 flips in the air. That was not me. But at least I had some agility to do. I did what I could.
Well, you did better than I would. I can't even do a damn cartwheel. So.
Well, you know, practice.
There we go. Yeah, I'm going to start practicing cartwheels at 33. Seems like a good idea.
Right?
It'll be in the news tomorrow. Local hooligan Casey Ferguson breaks arm trying to do a cartwheel for no apparent reason.
And blames Lisa Wilcox.
Yeah, there we go. Well, that's the only way it'll get in the paper. My name won't be enough to get it in there. They'll have to. I have to attach myself to someone more famous than myself.
Very funny.
Well, wait a second. Aren't nunchucks illegal in California?
They are. In fact, they're illegal in 4 states. New Mexico, California, New York, and I can't think of the other one. It might be Maryland or something. I don't remember. And I actually purchase them, and I'll actually sell them at my table at convention. So I used to order them, and they would ship here, but then they became illegal, and they won't even ship them to California anymore.
Oh, wow.
But I have my sources, so.
There you go.
I go to Las Vegas. I buy them there.
Well, I can keep a secret if you can.
Okay. And everyone else now knows where I get my nunchucks. Anyway.
There we go. Well, assuming anyone's listening to us.
Of course. No, it's fun, though. It's a fun thing to sign. It's a fun thing to hang on the wall. I think it's a fun little piece. I use them, too, with photos with everyone, with the supporters and stuff, and it's fun. But yes, very good. They are illegal in 4 states.
Ah, geez, stupid laws.
Well, I blame it on TV myself.
Unless it's a karate school and you have paperwork, then you can get them, but not individual.
How many damn karate movies have they made now in Hollywood? Like, come on.
Yeah. I know, silly.
Well, thanks so much for your time, Lisa. I was glad to have you on. I hope you'll
sure.
come back and talk to me again sometime.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, especially when I get some of these other films under my belt.
Absolutely. You be good, and I'll talk to you soon. Lady, have a great Halloween.
Thank you. You too.
Part talk show, part rock show. You are listening to the Casey Ferguson Show's Haunted House of Rock on Amherst Island Radio 92.1 FM.
I'd rather bait a crocodile with my manhood, which I believe is what got me into this mess.
That was my conversation with actress Lisa Wilcox from A Nightmare on Elm Street 4 and 5. To keep up with Lisa's convention appearances and upcoming films, check out lisaewilcox.com. While I'm plugging away here, I might as well thank my sponsor. The new exclusive sponsor of the Casey Ferguson Show is Jaybird Digital Arts. Your brand is important to you, and Jaybird Digital Arts has been building brand identities for events, bands, venues, and companies in Eastern Ontario for years. They listen first and then take your imaging to the next level with a combination of sketching, scanning, photography, and Photoshop. Contact them directly to discuss your needs and always be sure to let them know what kind of budget you have. They can always do something within your budget. You can find all their contact information and check out their portfolio at jaybirddigitalarts.com. You can't afford to have good-looking stuff. You can't afford not to. Jaybird Digital Arts has been a long-time sponsor of the Casey Ferguson Show podcast, and I'm happy to have them on board with me here at 92.1 FM, so I hope you show them some loving.
Order now, and you'll also get Sun and Run, the suntan lotion. That's also a laxative.
Say, have you lunatics heard the recent news about Marilyn Manson?
Isn't she the one that got wedged in the escalator?
This story comes from Mirror Online. The headline reads, Marilyn Manson crushed by falling prop during concert in New York.
Ay, caramba!
Singer Marilyn Manson has been crushed by a falling prop during a concert in New York. The rocker was performing at the Manhattan Center Hammerstein Ballroom when part of the set toppled over onto him. The 48-year-old artist attempted to climb the prop shaped like two guns as he sang Sweet Dreams, but as he got a foot on the structure, it gave way and fell forward, sending him him flying backwards. Witnesses captured the horror on camera as rescue workers battled to free the star. Fan Michelle Curran told DailyMail.com he was probably halfway through singing Sweet Dreams by the Eurythmics, and the massive gun display of two pistols behind him toppled onto him. The singing stopped, and loads of people ran to the stage to lift it up.
The key is to put it all in your groin and your back. Take your legs totally out of the equation. Lift with your lower back in a jerking, twisting motion.
Fans said a curtain was erected around the performer while he was given medical attention. Manson was then stretchered off stage and the concert was canceled. Hey, Marilyn Manson, you shouldn't play with guns, man.
I get it.
All kidding aside, I wish you a speedy recovery, mate. Here is Marilyn Manson. This is Long Hard Road Out of Hell on the Casey Ferguson Show's Haunted House of Rock.
Like a teenage crisis, I'm a saint. Lincoln from Friday the 13th, Part 7, and you're listening to The Casey Ferguson Show.
Lyle from Ghoultown coming at you from the black heart of Texas. You're listening to The Casey Ferguson Show. Have a spooky Halloween.
Where do they all come from? All the lonely people.
Creeping and crawling, knocking and rocking. You are listening to the Casey Ferguson Show's Haunted House of Rock on Amherst Island Radio 92.1 FM. From the album Power Tool Stigmata, that was Godhead with their rendition of the Beatles' classic Eleanor Rigby, stabbing westward in there as well from the Faculty soundtrack with a track called Haunting Me, and kicking off that gorgasm of gruesome tunes was Marilyn Manson with Long Hard Road Out of Hell. I just got to thinking, if you're listening to this show, you'd probably be into checking out the Quindy Horror Expo on October 14th. But I never cared for being a human ad machine, so I figured I'd give the organizer, Gord Wilson, a call and let him explain it to you.
Hello?
Gordo, you're on the radio.
Oh, wow, the radio.
Well, geez, you don't have to get hot about it. Don't sound so enthused. Oh, God, you're killing me already, Gordo. I'm giving you a shout because I'm not Mr. Pitchman and what have you. I didn't really want to... I love the Quinny Horror Expo, but I thought you'd probably explain it better than I would. So the floor is yours, sir. What is going on at the Quinny Horror Expo this year?
Well, for starters, we've doubled our space. If anyone just went to last year's, we were just kind of in with the one big main ballroom and a little bit in the hallway. We've got two other smaller dealer rooms this year, as well as a large screen room and another small, like, Q&A room. And we've got three short films playing, as well as a full-length feature and a bunch of other crazy Q&As and all kinds of fun stuff, as well as an amazing amount of vendors and just incredibly talented folks bringing their wares to the great city of Belleville.
Fantastic. Well, tell me about some of the businesses that are going to be there selling some stuff.
All right. Well, I guess first off, we've got Custom Cadavers. They came last year, and if anyone remembers the giant skin suit they brought with them, just lots of great props and prosthetics and, I guess, trinkets, for lack of a better term. We've got Poster Mortem coming, who has an incredible selection of original movie poster art from all over the world. And we have the wonderful people at Rotten Rags, great custom design t-shirts, some of which are customized by Mr. Steve McGinnis, who is our featured artist that actually lived in the Belleville area for a while, so he'll be coming out.
They're an official sponsor of the Casey Ferguson Show podcast, too, so shout out.
Yeah, Casey is obviously going to be there again. He's a wonderful MC, as you've heard on this radio program several times. And
oh, nobody listens to this show, Gord. Are you kidding? Go ahead. I'm sorry. I'm screwing you up.
That's okay. There is a ton of great people coming. Unfortunately, I don't have time to kind of rattle them all off. You'll just $5 to get in. There's really nothing better going on the Saturday as, well, I'm just going to say that is to be true. And, you know, come and have a great time with us.
All right. Well, I'll second that motion, sir. So date and time and all that stuff.
Saturday, October 14th at the Travel Lodge in Belleville, Ontario, down by the Bay Bridge. Doors open at 11 a.m. Hope to see you there.
Fantastic. If people want more information, where can they find it?
If you just Facebook search is probably the easiest way. Just Facebook search the Quinny Horror Expo. We should pop up there and tell you everything you need to know.
Fantastic. Well, thanks for taking the time, Gordo. I just, like I said, man, I'm not Mr. Pitchman here. Anyone who knows me knows that I hate... doing the pitch work on the radio and whatnot. I like talking to people and spinning tunes. So I'm going to get back to doing that. You get back to your day, and I will see you in Belleville on October 14th, my friend.
All right. Thank you, sir, for giving me a call. Have a good day.
Cheers, brother.
That's very nice. Thank you very much. Now, why don't you make like a tree and get out of here?
It's leave, you idiot. Make like a tree and leave. You sound like a damn fool when you say it wrong.
All right, then, leave!
There you have it, lunatics. I will be on site as the MC and DJ, so join me in celebrating all things horror on Saturday, October 14th at the Quinty Horror Expo in Belleville. I've got one more tune to hit before I split. Hinder will play us out with a track called See You in Hell. Thanks for listening, boils and ghouls. Remember, it's only an island if you look at it from the water. Until next time, this is Casey Ferguson, over and out.
Just
girls are smoking.